Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. Selma Berkman and Estelle Krumman are interviewing Henrietta Chotiner on January 13, 1976. Henrietta, to do this oral history and to find out something more about you, first we want to go back into your family background. Could you tell us something about your immediate family, say, starting with your grandparents, where they originated, and then your parents, and brothers, sisters, whatever it may be?
Well, I'll tell you what I remember, what I've been told about my grandparents. My maternal grandparents came from Romania, from a place that my grandmother called Derhoi. I wouldn't know how to spell it. All I know is it was near Bucharest. My grandmother and grandfather came here when my mother was 5 years old. Since my mother is now over 89, that would be around 1891. As far as I know, they came to Pittsburgh. What the connection was, I don't know. Like a great many of the Jewish people who came at that period, my grandfather became a peddler and went to the little towns around Pittsburgh and finally ended up owning a little ladies' wear or store of that nature on Center Avenue near Kirkpatrick Street. I don't remember how long he had it.
What was your grandparents' names?
Morris and Pearl Herman, H-E-R-M-A-N. My mother was the second of seven children, what would you say, that lived because my
survived
because my grandmother was married at 15 and the first three didn't live. My grandfather was 18. They came here with three children and four were born here in Pittsburgh. Do you want their names?
Yes.
I had an Uncle Max Herman, an attorney here in Pittsburgh, Abraham Herman, who died about 2 years ago, was very active in the Odd Fellows, was the attorney for the Wholesale Credit Association on Fifth Avenue. I have an aunt, Bess, who is still alive at 85, lives University Square.
And her last name now?
They're all Hermans. She was the bookkeeper for many years for the William Penn Hat and Gown Shop. I have alive another uncle, Samuel P. Herman, also of University Square, retired from J&L. My mother, as I mentioned, is 89. She's in a nursing home in Hartford, Connecticut.
Now that these are your maternal
relatives. My mother,
parents,
yeah, those are the relatives on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
I know more about them because as a youngster and growing up, I spent more time with my mother's side of the family since my father's people had moved away about 16, oh, right after my father died. And he died in 1917.
And your grandparents on your father's
side? On my father's side, my grandfather's name was Sholem. I don't know what they called it in English, whether it was Sholem or Sam. My grandmother Chotiner's name was also Pearl. Her maiden name was Parnas. And they came from a little town called Puttkamen. I don't know, P-O-D-K-A or K-U-M-E-I-N or something like that, in Galicia, supposedly listed then as part of Austria-Hungary, originally probably Poland. As far as I remember, my grandfather Chotner was in tobacco business. And I guess when my mother got out of public school, she worked for them because she married the boss's son.
Uh-huh. And was your father always in that business?
No. When my mother and father were married.
When was that?
I think January 1905. He had a grocery butcher shop in West Elizabeth. My father was the second child, oldest son, also of about 8 children.
The second child, but the oldest son.
Yeah. His sister was the first and the oldest. As I said, my father died in 1917, and the family moved to Los Angeles, California, and my grandmother died about 16 months later, supposedly of a broken heart. As far as I know, there may be an aunt living in Los Angeles. I haven't heard, and I don't know. My Uncle Max was married to a silent movie star, Alice Calhoun.
That's Max Chotner.
Yeah. And in Los Angeles somewhere, there is probably a hospital with a Chotner wing, an Alice Calhoun wing.
Was she a famous actress at the time?
In silent movies, Alice Calhoun. One of my cousins, the son of the next brother to my father, was the Murray Chotner that you may have heard about in connection with Nixon.
What about any of the Chotners here in Pittsburgh? Are you related to any of them?
I am not closely related to any of the Chotners, either in Pittsburgh, McKeesport, Clareton, or Aliquippa, unless you go back to maybe my great-grandfather, because my father was one boy with four sisters. But I think my great-grandfather had lots of brothers, and then they spread out.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
I'm the oldest of three children.
When were you born?
July 7th, 1906.
And next is...
Next is a sister, Mildred. You want S for her middle name? Chotner Greenspon. G-R-E-E-N-S-P-O-N, one word. And a brother, William C. Chotner, William Carl. Both of them, West Hartford, Connecticut.
Now, how did your family leave now they're your mother and sisters are located there?
When my mother married my father, he had this grocery butcher shop in West Elizabeth. And since my mother grew up in an Orthodox home, she kept a kosher home. And my father's butcher shop was not kosher, so every Thursday he would get on the train and make a trip into Pittsburgh to buy kosher meat and bring it back so that we upstairs from the store would have the right kind of meat to eat.
Where did he go for that?
I don't know which butcher shop he went. It was probably on Logan Street. Yeah, because they got the train, and there used to be a railroad station at 4th Avenue down here. I guess it's near what now is the morgue or a parking lot or something, but there was a 4th Avenue station, and that's where even when we came into town, we'd get off the train there and you'd take the streetcar and go up the hill. So he probably went to Logan Street or someplace like that to buy the meat. As I mentioned before, my father died in 1917. About 5 months before he died, the store was sold, and we moved to Pittsburgh. And we lived for about 5 months in Oakland at the corner of Louisa and Semple. And I spent a few months going to Belfield Public School. About the only thing I remember is that I'm naturally left-handed, and the teacher there made my life miserable, making me right-handed, and I had a terrible time. When my father died, May 10th, 1917, my mother and the three of us stayed with her family, who lived at that time on Milwaukee Street.
Where is that?
That's up on Heron Hill, above where the Heron Hill Car Barn used to be, at the end of Heron Avenue. We stayed there for 2 months, and then my mother found for us a place to live on Dakota Street, which I guess is officially Shenley Heights, above Shenley High School.
Where was
off
it?
Of Dakota Street.
Dakota.
And we lived there until, I think, 1926. From Dakota Street, I graduated the eighth grade from Madison Public School. And then I went to Shenley High School.
And you graduated in
1923.
From Shenley High School?
Yeah, I made it in 3.5 years. I graduated Madison in 1920. That was eighth grade, mm-hmm. February 1920, and I graduated Shenley in June 1923, and if it means anything, the highest honor.
Very good. It does mean something.
Because of that highest honor, my mother being a widow, through the efforts of Mr. Sylvain, who was the principal, I received a scholarship which helped me to go to Pitt.
How would you spell Mr. Sylvain?
S-A-U-V-A-I-N, I believe. I'm not sure whether his first initial was E or not. He was the principal at the time I graduated. There were two of us, who made highest honors. The other was Pauline Kolker, who, until she retired, worked for the Engelberts in Prudential Realty. Since she was a commercial student and I was an academic student and I fought pretty hard for it, I got the scholarship. The first year that I went to Pitt, tuition was $212.50 for the year and my scholarship was $150.
Oh, so it didn't cover anyway.
No, but it covered a lot. By the time I graduated, tuition had gone up to $300. And my scholarship was still $150.
What did you major in at Pitt?
I majored in languages, mostly Latin. With the idea of becoming a high school teacher.
Is this still going on?
Yes, ma'am. Do you want me to continue the secular education or, as it happens, bring in my Hebrew education?
Both. By the way, you wanted to become a high school teacher, didn't
right.
you? Did you go into that?
I majored in Latin, minored in French, with the idea of becoming a high school language teacher.
And then did you get a job as that?
No. That was the tragedy of those days.
What year was that?
I graduated, well, 24. As a sideline, you have to note that since I had become a Hebrew teacher in my high school senior year.
Where did you learn the Hebrew?
At the Hebrew Institute. All the Hebrew that I know and all I learned at the Hebrew Institute.
And where was the Hebrew Institute?
Up on the hill. In the 1900 block of Wiley Avenue, a red brick building across the street from the Wiley Avenue branch of the Carnegie Library. That building today is used by the K Boys Club, a colored institution that is part, I think, of the Community Fund, the United Fund.
Now, did you go to Hebrew school in preparation for a bat mitzvah or something
they
of that sort?
They didn't have bat mitzvah in those days, only bar mitzvah.
Now, was this your mother's idea that you...
Well, it worked like this. After my father died, and we moved to Dakota Street. I had a great aunt living in Pittsburgh, my maternal grandmother's half-sister, Rose Federhar Neiman.
What is that?
F-E-D-E-R-H-A-R-N-E-A-M-A-N. She had married Morris Neiman, who was very active in Zionist affairs here in Pittsburgh, who was the secretary of the Hebrew Institute. And who taught me all the bookkeeping I know. She was a kindergarten teacher. The Hebrew Institute was very new. My mother was a young widow with three children. My brother at that time was 2 1/2. I was almost 11. And we went to visit my step-great-grandmother and Rose Neiman. And in the course of the conversation, she said to my mother, there's a Hebrew school that opened up. You want to get rid of your daughter for a while, send her to Hebrew school. And that's how I got to the Hebrew Institute. I started in the summer, vacation time, after public school was over. In those days, you went to Hebrew school 2 full hours a day, 5 days a week, no Sunday school in English, everything Hebrew, and 11 months a year, with a week out for Sukkot and another week out for Pesach. Apparently, I have an aptitude for languages, and I took to it. And the teachers would give me extra work, and I skipped from here to there. I was 12 when I started the Hebrew school. Although my father died when I was 11, nothing happened that first year. My mother had to pay someone to say Kaddish for my father because my brother was too small and I didn't know anything. And so I started the Hebrew school when I was 12. At the time I was 16 and beginning my high school year, my high school senior year, Mr. Abrams handed me a beginner's class and said, here, go teach. So at 16, I was teaching reading the old Ashkenazic pronunciation to youngsters 10 years old. And I continued. Therefore, by the time I graduated college, I had had 5 years of Hebrew teaching experience, mostly by the trial and error method. When, in my senior year, I asked the university for credit for my Hebrew teaching, The answer was, you are majoring in secondary education. Your experience is in elementary education. We cannot give you credit. Since the schedule was such that the practice teaching course where after we did our practice teaching, we had to go to a class and listen to criticism and evaluation, everything came between 4:30 and 6 o'clock. And I was teaching between 4 and 6. I couldn't take it. So I received my Bachelor of Arts degree from the College of the University of Pittsburgh with the educational credits as electives. And after I graduated, I went to Shenley that summer and took practice teaching in order to get my teaching certificate from Harrisburg. I did the practice teaching in Latin at Shenley under the man who had been my teacher, Dr. Emil Louie.
Could you spell that
L-E-W-Y, I think. I'm not sure.
Who did you study with, Dr.?
Emil Louie. He had taught me Latin in high school, and he was the man under whom I did my practice teaching. Then came the problem of trying to get a job. In those days...
So you did your practice teaching in Latin?
In Latin at Shenley High School the summer of 1927. Came the problem of trying to get a job. In those days, no one could teach out of college in Pittsburgh proper. You had to have 3 years of experience in a smaller town, a second grade town. Jewish people and Catholic people had a very rough time. If you went to a smaller place like Braddock or Rankin or McKeesport, somebody on the board always had a relative, and you couldn't get in. In Pittsburgh, until you had 3 years of experience, there wasn't much of a chance. At the time that I graduated, there were 5 Jewish teachers in all the high schools of Pittsburgh. Marcus Aaron was the president of the Board of Education. That would be Maxine Aaron's father-in-law. But he was very careful not to lean towards anybody. And so I didn't get a job. By then I had had 5 years of experience in the Hebrew. And Mr. Abrams said to me, high school teachers start at $1,800 a year. Hebrew teachers make $1,800 a year. Stay. And because my mother had married my stepfather,
what was his name?
Isidore Elovich. E-L-L-O-V-I-C-H. And moved to Hartford, Connecticut.
When, what year did they marry?
February 1926. And I didn't want to be dependent. And reciprocity rules of one kind or another made it impossible for me to get a teaching job up there. I decided to accept Mr. Abrams' offer, and I stayed in Jewish education.
Now, Mr. Abrams at that time, what was his position?
That was Mr. Israel A. Abrams, the father of Dr. Solomon Abrams, the principal of the Hebrew Institute of Pittsburgh.
And he was principal then, too. Israel was the principal.
Israel. He had come up from Baltimore and met with the people and worked with the people in Pittsburgh from the very beginning.
When was the Hebrew Institute founded?
They started to make plans in 1913, but I believe it was opened in November of 1916. And you see, I started there in July of 1918, so it was pretty close to the beginning of everything.
He came from Baltimore?
Uh-huh.
And whom did he work with when he started?
Well, there were people like Louis I. Aaron, Rosenblums, Harry Aronson, mm-hmm. all these famous Jewish people of bygone days that I would probably recognize the names and
Harry,
can't remember
Harry,
right
who
now.
Did you say?
Aronson, A-R-E-N-S-O-N, M.L. Avner, my great uncle Morris Neiman.
They were all instrumental in founding Hebrew Institute.
Rabbi Ashinsky was really the founder. Rabbi A.M. Ashinsky. Incidentally, his daughter Ruth, who is Mrs. Borkin, was my first Hebrew teacher. And the youngest daughter, Florence, who is now Rabbi Miller, went to Pitt with me.
Who went to Pitt now? His second daughter.
No, Rabbi Ashinsky's youngest daughter.
Younger daughter.
Florence. She's now Rabbi Mrs. Irving Miller. At one time he was Rabbi in
Florence was her name.
Yeah. At one time he was Rabbi in Far Rockaway. I don't know whether he still is.
And her name is now
Florence Miller.
A rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
She is a rabbi.
No,
her husband's
a rabbi.
Rabbi Miller.
Now you say she went to school with you.
Florence went graduated Pitt with me.
These other people helped start it. Mm-hmm.
In your home life, when you were younger and lived with your mother, could you tell us something about the atmosphere? I'm sure it was quite religious and orthodox in background.
My grandparents were orthodox on both sides. The first 10 years of my life, I lived in West Elizabeth. So, as I mentioned, my father would come once a week to Pittsburgh to get meat, so on and so forth. We came into Pittsburgh for Rosh Hashanah. We came to my grandmother's house for Passover. And my mother did everything she could to keep a kosher house.
Were you they affiliated with any synagogue here when you came for the holidays?
When we
Which
came,
synagogue?
My mother's people were always members of the Poletzedek. And so when I went to services, I went to the Poletzedek when it was on Crawford Street in the Hill District. The Chotiners, you see, were there too, but they had moved away
mm-hmm.
to California.
Right.
And that's why I know more about my mother's people.
Did you, besides your religious training, did you ever take any piano lessons or any of that kind of thing too?
I started to take piano lessons after my father died. I'm afraid I'm not too good at it.
And who did you study with? Do you remember or where?
Sally Mason.
Is she on the piano too?
She taught me piano.
Privately in her home?
No, she came to my house.
I see.
My sister tried to learn violin, and Dr. M.A. Hershenson, who was going to college at the time, taught her.
Dr. M.A.
Hershenson. Neither one of us did too well in the musical field.
Mm-hmm. Would you say your mother was a disciplinarian, or tell us something about her character in that respect?
She was not the overly outgoing, affectionate type. If that makes her stern, yes. She was interested in seeing that we were well fed, we were healthy, we were clean. It was my grandmother who gave me the affection that I missed. She wasn't the kind who would voluntarily throw her arms around you and kiss you for no reason at all. She was the kind who said, God gave you brains, use them, and bring me a good report. She wasn't the kind like my friends who paid $5 for an A. My father, the little that I remember, I think, was the other way. Would have been the outgoing, affectionate kind. He also appeared.